We're going to do a Bible study just real briefly, and from Psalms chapter 5, if you want to find it in your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, but I also have a copy of the Amplified Version here, because as I was talking about the Lord the last few days about, well, what do you want me to share on this morning? I had several different Psalms that I'd been reading, and this I felt like was one of the ones. Psalms chapter 5 was, I read this a few days ago, and it really touched me. The Lord used it to touch me, and I just felt like, well, felt like He said to me this morning, just share Psalms chapter 5 with you guys. So we're going to read through it, and then we'll come back and make some comments on it. Psalms chapter 5, this is the Psalm of David. I just want to remind you, in case before I forget, that David was a man after God's own heart. And if you read through the Bible and the Old Testament, and especially you read about David, you'll find out that even though David was a man after God's own heart, David did some wrong things, some pretty bad things. Also, he did a lot of good things. The fact was, even though he was a man after God's own heart, he still lived in a physical body. He still come under earthly difficulties and trials and problems and pressures and temptations. Amen? This is one of his prayers. We could have read, I think it's Psalms 53, which was his prayer of repentance after he had had Bathsheba's husband killed and had taken her as his wife. Of course, he was chastised. He was punished for that, and that punishment was not good. But he, you know, the Bible, God is an awesome God. He's a wonderful Father. He's so good to us. But when we go out and do things that are not good, and we do things that are wrong, He does chasten us. And sometimes He takes us to the woodshed. And anytime we go to the woodshed, that's not a pleasant thing. And first, just going to the woodshed, whether He punishes you or not, just going out there and just not, because I've been there and done that, as you've heard me tell before, and I'm not going to go into that story again, but just coming to the place of realization that, Lord, are You still with me or not? That's the woodshed. When we can't sense and know the presence of God in our lives, that doesn't always mean we're in the woodshed, but it can mean that we're in the woodshed. So He takes care of us. Amen?
Okay,
Psalms chapter 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to You I will pray. My voice You shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to You, and I will look up. For You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with You. Verse 5, the boastful shall not stand in Your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into Your house in the multitude of Your mercy. In fear of You, I will worship toward Your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in Your righteousness because of my enemies. Make Your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Now this is their enemies, His enemies, and God's enemies. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against You. But let all of those rejoice who put their trust in You. Let them ever shout for joy, because You defend them. Let those who love Your name be joyful in You. For You, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With Your favor, You will surround him as with a shield. First of all, I just want to talk about the righteous for a minute, because
He says, you will bless the righteous, verse 12, and your favor will surround him as with a shield. So I want to talk to you for just a minute, because there's a lot of people who are Christians sometimes that they don't feel like that they're very righteous. In fact, sometimes the enemy comes and tells us when we're in a real spiritual battle, how could God love somebody like you? You're unrighteous, the enemy knows pretty much all about the things that we do that are wrong. He's our tempter. He's our adversary. He's there with whom we do spiritual battle. And he knows how to put thoughts in our minds. And I just want to tell you right now, sometimes thoughts can come into our minds that are not our thoughts. They come from the evil one. And we need to be able to recognize that anytime we have a thought, you think about this, then any time that we have a thought that comes in our minds that we don't want there and we don't like, you can just understand right now where it came from. That's not yours. So don't let the enemy accuse you over that, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, as the Bible says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5, I think it is, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So that's where we pull it all down, by in the name and the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. So first of all, I want you to understand, and we all need to understand, because the enemy tries to get us to think that we're not righteous. Now, in the flesh, we're not righteous. Paul says, I know that in me that is in my flesh doesn't dwell any good thing. So the first thing that we need to really understand as Christians is what Paul said. We need to know and understand that in our flesh does not dwell any good thing. So when we get out of the Spirit and we get in the flesh, we shouldn't be in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, the Bible says. Amen? And don't be drunk with wine that worries in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that in the action, in the word, in the original means to continually being filled with the Spirit. Continually being filled with the Spirit. So anytime when we get distracted or get out of the way, we need to say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Amen? And I just wanted you to understand, and anybody that hears this, that if you're a Christian, if you've been born again, that if you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and in sincerity out of your heart have called upon him and said, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you to come into my life. I believe that you're my Savior, that you lived and died for me, and that you shed your precious blood for me, and I want you to come into my life and save you. I want you to know at that moment, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that is your standing. He no longer sees you in the flesh. Now, I'll give you a couple of scriptures you may want to write down. The Lord told me to give them to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But it says, but of him are you, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him, that is of God, you, that is we that are in Christ Jesus, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. He became wisdom from God for us and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So God to us as new creations in Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. God has, through the Lord Jesus Christ, he's become wisdom to us. He is our righteousness. He's our sanctification and he's our redemption. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Praise God. That's true. That's who we are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'll share that with you too. For he made him, that is God, made him, that is Jesus. Now think about this. Who knew no sin, to be sin for us. He took our sins in his body on the cross, the Bible tells us. Amen. God allowed him, his son, Jesus, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that he that believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? God made him to be sin for us, even though he had not sinned and didn't deserve to sin. He took our sins and bore our sins in his body on the cross and died in our place, was buried in our place, and was resurrected so that we might have the resurrection of life
in Christ Jesus. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, all of us who are Christians, have been born again by the Spirit of God, might become the righteousness of God in him. So we are in Christ, and as such, it's not our righteousness, but it is the righteousness of God. So when he tells us to fight the good fight of faith, and that it's God that works in it, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is the way we work out our salvation, and fear and trembling is, for it's God that worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. So we do it in the strength of the Lord, not in our own strength, because we don't have any strength. He is our strength. He is our righteousness. And so the way we stand is taking the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. What is the Word that comes by faith? Amen. And it is the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5, I think it is, says the Word of God is our shield. Amen. The Word of God is also our sword. Amen. And because we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we can come before God not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness that we are in Christ Jesus, and we can fight a spiritual battle in his strength because we have the shield of faith, which comes by the Word of God. That's why we need to know the Word of God. And we have the sword of the Spirit, which comes by the Word of God. And that's the reason why we need to know the Word of God, because that's how we do spiritual warfare. Amen? And that's how we stand. Yeah, stand, he says. Amen. So now, we're standing, but also God wants us to pray. As I said, we have not because we ask not. We're standing because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and because we are children of God, then we need to talk to our Father. Amen? And talking to our Father is prayer. And as you've said, as you've heard me say many times, and as I've said many times, prayer is not just going and getting your closet. It is that. And prayer is not just getting on your knees. It is that, and includes that. It includes everything. But prayer is basically really realizing that you are you are God's habitation through the Spirit, and you can talk to him anytime you want to. It's like, I heard a story one time of John F. Kennedy when he was the president of the United States. And he was in this important meeting and God impressed me, so impressed me with this, I've never forgotten it. But I'm going to tell you, you'll understand here in just a minute why. And while he was in this real important meeting, little John, which was about 4 or 5 years old, come busting through the door, running in there, and jumped up into his lap. And he didn't tell him, "Get out of here, son, I'm busy right now." He just said, "Hon, what is it that you want?" And picked him up in his arms and hugged him. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And God said, "I'm your heavenly Father. You can do that. You can come no matter how busy you think I am or what's going on. You can come running in just like little John did and jump up in your Father's arms, and he'll hug you and say, 'Hey, welcome, my son.'" Amen. Praise God. Amen. Or my daughter, whatever. He wants us to pray. And so David was a prayer man. When we pray, so many times, and I don't know how long I'm going to get into this, I'll try not to take too long. Sometimes I get started and there's just so many things in just a few scriptures. It's so full of things that God can show us. It never ceases to amaze me. When we pray, we don't want to just be as Jesus tells us. And when he said, and the disciples came to Jesus, you know, and we can read this, I think, in Matthew and Luke. It's in a couple of places. And they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And what they were saying, and we miss out on this, they weren't just asking him, "Lord, give us words so we'll know what words to speak." They were saying, "Lord, we have seen you pray. And we've seen the power of God work through you. And we've seen God answer your prayers. And we want to pray those kind of prayers just like you're praying." Amen. That's the kind of prayers we want to pray. we don't want to just pray prayers just to be heard. But we want to say, Lord, and with faith and understanding, give ear to my words. Lord, I want you to hear what I have to say. So when we come into His presence, wherever we are, we need to understand, first of all, we need to come in with reverence and thanksgiving and realize that we're before God. We're before His throne. We may not feel like it, we may not look like it, but when we come in sincerity in prayer before God, the Holy Spirit picks us up and ushers us right into the throne room before our Heavenly Father. And we want Him to hear our prayers. Now, boy, I could spend a long time on that. We want Him to hear our words. But the words, we need to be careful what we pray for. And the Bible tells us in a lot of places how to pray. We need to learn how to pray. We need a lot of things in this life. But the first thing we know when we come before our Father, we need to recognize He's our Father, and we just need to be thankful, Father, that I'm coming before Your throne of grace. I have some requests for You. Amen. And I just want You to hear them. And I've been meditating, as this next word said. Sometimes we need to meditate on the words that we're about to say and what's going on in our lives and what's going on in other people's lives. Because when we come before God in prayer, we don't just come before God just to say words. And we don't just come to pray for ourselves and all of our needs all the time. We need to come and pray for others. Amen? And then we need to meditate on what we're praying about, because sometimes, Lord, we find ourselves in situations, and I just really, like the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, we don't know how to pray for things just exactly as we ought. But the Holy Spirit helps us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen? So when we meditate on the things that we come before God about, then we're meditating on, is this something I really need to talk to God about? Amen? And well, I know this, we can always talk to God about somebody that's in a need, or somebody that needs salvation, or somebody that's in trouble, or something that's going on in people's lives. We can always pray for others. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus is making intercessions for us before the Father. Amen? He's praying for us. He hadn't given up on us yet. Amen? Praise God. So we meditate on what we're going to talk about, and then we can say, I think I'm thinking right, I think I'm praying right, so please give heed to the voice of my cry. And sometimes when we find ourselves in difficult times and situations, our prayer is not just a prayer, like we just come and are praying for something, but sometimes we find ourselves in such situations, and our prayer becomes a cry. God, help me. Boy, I need Your help. It becomes a cry. And in this particular case, David was saying, give ear to my words. Give heed to the voice of my cry. And the reason I'm crying to You and calling on You and praying to You is You're my King and my God. Let's remember that. Because whenever we come before to be saved, the way we get saved is we confess with our heart and we can believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Amen? That means He's our King. He's our Lord. So when we come before Him, we need to be mindful of the fact that we're not just coming before our Heavenly Father, and He loves us, but we also are coming before our King and our God. And it's for to You, verse 2, for to You I will pray. We don't pray to anybody else. It's just to God. Verse 3. My voice you shall hear in the morning. Now, in the morning here is twice. You shall hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to You, and I will look up. So, I've told you this before, and I may not be perfect at doing this, but The first thing that I do when I get up in the morning, sometimes before I even roll out of bed, is I say, "Good morning, Lord. You're my God. You're my Savior. Good morning, Lord Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. I need you this day." And boy, I don't maybe to say that in a real firm manner or whatever, but I do say it. And at night when I go to bed, I say, "Good night, Heavenly Father. Good night, Lord Jesus." Amen? And I think that's the way we need to start. And we need to start early. When the first thing in the morning, that's it doesn't have to be a big prayer, an awesome prayer. It just has to be just say, recognizing, "Hey, Father, our Father and our God, our Heavenly Father, this is the day that you made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in you. And I need your help to be able to do that." So the best thing to do in starting our day is and to look up to Him and to come before His voice is in the morning. In the morning, I will look up. He brought this scripture to my mind this week. Colossians chapter 3. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind," that's what I wanted to come to, "set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Amen? Set your affections. That's what he said to me. Don't quit allowing yourself with your affections to be set on the things of this world. Set your affection on things above. Start looking to those things, depending on those things, thinking about those things. So we set our affections on Him. As long as we're alive, we need to set our affection, because there is no, we can't do that in our graves. Amen? Amen.
Yes, sir.
Colossians chapter 3 is where we were reading. All right. Verse 5, verse 4, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." So he's telling us that we need to look up. We need to. We don't boast about ourselves. We don't stand in our sight and say, "Hey, look at me, Father. Look at what a wonderful thing I've done." We say, "We look to your Son and look at what a wonderful thing He's done." Amen. So we look to Him, and we don't boast in His sight about anything but Him. We don't want to work iniquity. We try to do the best we can. Amen. Because He destroys those that work iniquity and those who speak falsehood. He abhors the bloodthirsty, those that want to kill people and deceitful people. But as for me, this is what we should be able to say: "I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy." So I'm not coming into His house and saying, "Hey, I've done this, I've done that, look at me, I need you to hear and answer my prayers." We come into His house in the multitude of His mercy. It's only by His mercy we're able to come into His house. Amen?
Yes, sir.
"In fear of you, I will worship." We love God. He's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. But we don't have such a lack of fear and awe for God. When we come into God's presence, we're always, in the matter of fact, we stand in awe of God. Even though He's our Heavenly Father and I love Him. Now, when I knew my Father cared for me, my earthly Father, I knew He loved me and He did things for me and provided for me and a lot of things I didn't even realize He was providing for me. And sometimes He didn't always tell me He loved me. But I always had, not because I was going to get a spanking or because I was going to get a whipping, but because He was who He was my Father and I had respect for Him. Amen. We're supposed to always have respect for our fathers, and especially our Heavenly Father. And so we have awe. Here, fear doesn't mean I fear God so much I don't want to come into his presence, is what I'm trying to say here. This is what the psalmist is trying to say. I stand in awe of you. And so I will worship towards your holy temple, and I will come into your presence. And it's because I'm in awe of you that I can stand and come into your presence and talk to you. I realize that I'm not here because of any good that I've done, and you're not listening to me, and you're not going to give ear to my words and answer my prayers and hear my cry because of good things that I've done, but it's only because of your mercy that I'm able to come into your presence. Amen? In fear and awe, I worship you. Now, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. And God only leads us in righteousness because of my enemies. Now, the reason we need to walk in righteousness is because of our enemies. Amen? Because our enemies are the accuser of the brethren. We don't want to be walking in that. We want to be walking in his righteousness, not our own righteousness. Make your way straight before my face. So we can spend a lot of time on that. I'm not. I'm going to hurry and get through here. But in other words, we need to know, order my steps, Lord. Order my steps. I need your guidance through my day. I need you to guide me. Help me make the right decisions. Help me to do the right thing. Help me to stand. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Stand. Then he talks about God's enemies, and he's not talking about just those that are lost in sin and sinners, but he's saying to his enemies, that's Satan. Amen? And his demons and this spiritual world of darkness that in which we live and move and have our, you know, we walk around in this in our physical bodies. That's what he's talking about here. Let those enemies be cast down in the multitude. Let Satan be put down. Deliver me from evil, as he said. When you pray, ask the Lord to deliver you from evil. Amen. Put the kingdom of Satan down. Don't look to the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of darkness and say, well, it's overwhelming me, it's overcoming me, I can't win, blah, blah. You know, because we're putting that all down. He puts his enemies down. Amen? And he does that for us. He did that for us through the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. But verse 11, but let all of those rejoice who put their trust in you. Do you put your trust in him? Then rejoice. He wants you to rejoice in him because you can put your trust in him. You can always depend on him to be faithful. Amen? He will never let you down. Now, the enemy will tell you, well, where is your God? Because you find yourself in some problems. We find ourselves in temptations and circumstances and situations. The enemy always comes and puts thoughts in our mind. Well, where is that God of yours? What do you depend on? Why is he? Are you with me? That's thoughts that's coming into your mind that you need to bring into captivity. Amen? And when he does that, say, he's right here with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. We use the word of God. It's a sword of the Spirit. It's a shield of faith. Amen? So we always trust in him. And not just trust in him, but let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because you defend them. Amen? Aren't you glad he defends you? Amen. Let all of those that love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. And that's why I wanted you to understand we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's just the beginning of our blessing. Amen. We're blessed. Amen. Righteousness of God. We'll bless the righteous. And with favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Aren't you glad God's put us in a protective shield? And the only thing that can come into our lives is anything that, if we're in the will of God and we're walking in the Spirit doing what he wants us to do. Now, we can open the door and get into our situations ourselves. Amen? And we don't want to do that. But even then, God has a shield around us. Amen. And I'll close with this. If you read Job, Job was a man greatly blessed of God. Amen. And we have a story there. We get a glimpse into heaven. When all the angels of God came and they stood before the, and the and Satan came. And God looked at Satan and said, "Have you considered?" He said, "Where are you coming from?" He said, "From walking around on the earth." He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He said, "Yeah, I have." He didn't say he was a good man, but God said he was a good man. Amen? And in Christ Jesus, God says, "You're good. I'm good. We're good." Amen? And Satan said, "Well, just no wonder he thinks you're so good and he's good. You've put a shield around him. I can't get to him." Amen? That's what we just read. God's put a shield around us. Amen? And Satan can't get through that unless God allows him, or unless we get in the flesh and open the door. Are you with me? And then we can get back out and get back in where we're supposed to be, right? Satan said, "Let me have him. He'll curse your name." Well, we found out Job never did curse God. Even his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die? Get over this." Amen. He says, we get good things in life and we get bad things. Why would we want to blame God, you know? I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to trust him. Well, you'll see in the end, 7 times. Amen. He had 7 times more than he had in the beginning because he trusted God all the way through it. Amen. He never said anything evil about God or against God. Isn't that wonderful? Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Thank you for being here. Keep praying for everybody. We have a lot of people that are that we know of that are having the virus or coronavirus, and they need our prayers, and we're praying for them and thanking God for them. Let's just continue to do that and lift one another before the God's throne of grace. Amen? Because we need your prayers. We all need one another's prayers, and we all need prayer. Amen? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your marvelous love and grace. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We thank you for the message that you've given us from your word by your Holy Spirit. We praise you and thank you for the many answered prayers and for being such a wonderful Father and God. Take care of us this day and this week as we go through. We look to you and depend upon you. You're the only one that we can depend on, Lord. We don't have anybody else but you. Thank you for being there in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. God bless you.